Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
I don't think you can just say that, Clint.
Long as you dump, just dump it, T.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and Blonde, the Blonde Tip Bomber, as well as T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, as we are live out here, live on a Football Friday here at Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland, and the who's who is in the building as we are having a good time, and you can still make your way out here as well. Larry and Stafford's Aston just walked up in here.
Sidewind-ass tennis shoes.
If you all don't know who Fernando Rodney is, please look him up. He's got his hat cocked just the way Fernando Rodney used to come in the ninth inning with that hat cocked like this thing is. But it's a good time out here. You still got a chance to win a Tank Dell autographed helmet, as well as we got a couple of $50 gift cards that we're going to hook you up with coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour as we continue rolling through here. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And let's get the latest here. And the latest, fellas, let's kind of cover where we are here, the most recent news in this game for the Texans and the Chiefs. And let's start with the Texans, obviously. Running back Joe Mixon, earlier today, ESPN said that he was listed as questionable but is looking like to be a game-time decision, saying that he injured his ankle in practice on Wednesday. Our guy Aaron Wilson then later reported, Clint, the Texans running back Joe Mixon with the ankle and linebacker Azeez Alshire with the knee are set to play Saturday against the Chiefs per league sources. Both are listed as questionable. He also stated, Clint, there was never a high level of concern that either player wouldn't be available. So that is good news to see. I didn't think either one of them wouldn't play. I'd been shocked off my ass if they didn't, but we are now seeing, according to Aaron Wilson, Joe Mixon will at least play. I think now, Clint, is what Joe Mixon are they getting? What Joe Mixon are they getting? And we know you need the top shelf Joe Mixon. Clearly, when you go look at the Texans in their good offensive games, Joe Mixon is a guy that is a big catalyst, and you can look over in that yards category, Clint, it's usually north of 100. So that's the big question. What Joe Mixon are they going to be getting?
Well, and you need the best Joe Mixon. I think there's games like last week where anything can happen, and you can muck it up and you make the best that you can of whatever situation. I do believe that this is a game where for the Texans to have a legitimate shot in the fourth quarter, you're going to need that defense to show up, and I think you're going to need that run game to show up, whether it's sporadic or consistent throughout, one way or another. You're going to need it in situational football or overall. And Joe Mixon being full go would be a huge plus. Look, I think the one thing we can draw from this right here is that Joe Mixon clearly nicked something.
They said, they reported ESPN, that something happened Wednesday.
And, and look, and I don't, if it's something that's like, uh-oh, and it just kind of scared him into, hey, look, let's just shelf him until game time, or it's something that it's actually scared him from a standpoint of him not being able to put weight on it, him not being able to go. Either way it goes, look, they can shoot it up, they can wrap it up, and you're going to get some version of Joe Mixon. I don't, to your point, it would take a broken leg to keep either one of these guys, Azeez Al-Shaair or Joe Mixon, out of this game, no doubt about it. But I don't know. I think you're going to get Joe. It's just what Joe are you going to get and how long can he go?
Yeah. The additional news off of the Joe Mixon, Clint, the Houston Texans did elevate two players from the practice squad to the big squad. And obviously, I don't think I saw any word of Teagan Quateriano being reinstated from IR, but the two players they did is Andrew Beck, fullback, H-back, tight end. He is going to be on the roster coming up tomorrow, as well as J.J. Taylor. And I know for you, the J.J. Taylor one is one where you're like, all right, what does that mean with Mixon? Do they have some kind of concerns on how much he can go, or maybe even kick return or punt return with the J.J. Taylor? But I know that one was the one that jumped off kind of the page to you a little bit.
Yeah, look, J.J. Taylor, it could be just a depth play and they need some help on special teams where maybe Damian Pierce is expected to potentially, they need a little more out of him on the offense, so they want to lessen the load on special teams, and J.J. Taylor can fill in there. But I sure hope, because at the end of the day, this team, this offense is lacking explosion, right? And I don't mean with the top guys. We obviously know what Nico and Joe are capable of. But even if you look at Joe Metchen, Xavier Hutchinson, and if you look, Robert Woods is healthy, look at Dalton Schultz, man, there's just a lack of, like, to-the-house type of twitch and speed and explosion. And every offense needs that. And so I look at J.J. Taylor, and look, I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. The guy's never pissed a drop in the NFL. But there's no doubt about it. We've seen him enough running the football in real live action to where you can see a different burst. You can see a different twitch. You can see a different skill set that this guy brings to the table. And I hope like hell this is more than just a depth play and a insurance policy of Joe Mixon.
You want to see some run?
I would like to see, yes. You want to talk about wrinkles in this offense that are needed. To hell with all the trick plays and stuff, right? I mean, put J.J. Taylor in the game, put him in a slot and throw him a bubble screen and let's see what he can do in open space, right? Give him the ball, let him do some third down and check the football down to him and let's see what he can do. You know, obviously you don't want to expose the guy to some pressures where he don't know the pass protections. And I'll be honest with you, at this point in time, a playoff game in the divisional round, you can't bring this guy up and even give him the chance to play if he can't handle the playbook. I got to believe that this guy can handle the playbook. And if that's the case, I would love for them to have a J.J. Taylor package. And we're talking a couple of touches here, but you don't have everybody, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can only feed it to Nico and Joe so much. There's going to be another. Let's call it another 15 plays where Nico's not getting it, Joe's not getting it, and you got to design that thing to go somewhere otherwise. And you got to prepare yourself. What if C.J. Stroud is they're having a hard time protecting him? What are you going to do? It can't just be the Nico rocket screen, right? I like that call a lot more than anybody else does. But you've got to have some wrinkles out there where you're handing it to somebody, Nico or J.J. Taylor type guy, on the speed sweep. And like those things are important, man. It can't be – you can't let this defense dial in on Joe. It's one of the best run defenses in the game.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't let them dial in on two guys, take two guys out of the game, and then you are just completely inept otherwise. Bobby Slowick's got to find a way to get other guys' touches creatively in this offense on Saturday.
From the Chiefs' side of things, it was announced today a decision that was being talked about around there. The Chiefs, according to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, the Chiefs plan to start Joe Tooney at left tackle Saturday versus the Texans. DJ Humphries is healthy, but Tooney, a Pro Bowl guard, flourished in the tackle relief while Humphries and others were injured, so the Chiefs prepare to go with the hot hand. I thought it was wild that it was even a conversation. In the three games that Joe Tooney played, he played one against Myles Garrett and the Browns, obviously the game, and we know the pass rushers the Texans have, and then they played against the Steelers, which is Highsmith and T.J. Watt. and they allowed one sack in those three games against those pass rushers. The previous three games before him, the Chiefs had given up 13 sacks. So this made sense for them to stay in this spot. But if you heard Pete Sweeney earlier today, he was on with us at 3:40, covers the Chiefs. He said, still, the Texans guys on the outside are better than those guys and should give them problems, and the Texans should have the advantage. And then the first matchup, I think the Chiefs would press the button again if that's you know, the production that the edge rushers would get in that game. So that is the news there with the Chiefs. They're going to go with Joe Tooney outside, and with that, as we said, Clint, they should still be able to have some success against Taylor on the other side. And then Joe Tooney, a natural guard, playing tackle.
Yeah, look, I don't worry or doubt really against anybody whether those two guys can eat, because it is a two-man show. It's not just about one of them, right? You got to have two tackles that are at the top of their game in order to just completely eliminate them. And you got a lot of help, tight ends and running backs.
Yeah, both sides.
And no doubt that Andy can do that, but you got to force them into that situation. Look, I think the biggest factor between this year, this week and last week, it's simple, man. It's can the Texans get the push inside that they were able to get last week? The game changes at that
inside,
moment.
Inside, yeah.
Absolutely. I've said it a million times, and it's a hill that I'll die on. As an old quarterback, you give me one or two really good defensive ends, and look, they can cause problems, no doubt about it. But you give me those two guys with the ability to set deep and push up in the pocket, I can manipulate them. I can help my tackles stay on track. If you give me a guy that's pushing up in my face, one, he's in my throwing lanes, but two, I got nowhere to push up to. Now I got to deal with all of it at once. And so this game's going to boil down to it. I know the middle of Kansas City's offensive line is really good.
But it does take a hit with Tooney moving out and Frank Caliendo's cousin, Mike Caliendo, coming in
right
to start. So you can, the Danico Autry versus 66 matchup is one to watch in this game. Yeah.
You just got to get that push. If you don't give that push and you give all that space, as I've said it again a million times, you know, the difference in, like, what you see Pat Mahomes and even Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and company, you see those guys deal with compared to what you see CJ and Joe Burrow and those type of guys deal with. They may have one weak link up front that gets beat, maybe even gets beat a lot. But the other four offensive linemen are creating space for the quarterback to make that guy miss, to push up in the pocket, to slide in the pocket. If you can't just totally collapse the pocket, Pat Mahomes is going to be unbelievably comfortable. So you got to get that push in the middle. And I think then our defensive ends will not only just produce from a stat perspective, but they can absolutely wreck the game.
All right.
5 o'clock fire.
And two, that's all she wrote from Sacramento. Entertaining game with the Kings winning by five. Five-game winning streak for the Rockets comes to a close. It was the second of a back-to-back. They won last night in Denver, but the Kings win it.
All right, the Kings snapped the five-game win streak that the Rockets had. And look, this is one that I'm sure Udoka will be annoyed with, giving up 132 points. You know him as a defensive coach, but Clint, for me, like, yeah, it's 82 of them, right? You ain't gonna win all of them, right? And you go on a five-game streak, and the Kings have been playing better since they got Doug Christie as the new head coach. But still, to me, this is a game in which Jalen Green, who the stat there hasn't been below 20 points in a game since the year has started. He goes in for another 28. You look at Sengun, he goes a double-double, 21 and 10. They just played against another team that's got some talent that got them at home. And this isn't one where you're like, oh, God, here we go. They win some, they lose some. They still played pretty well, just didn't get some stops that I know that Udoka wanted to go. I'm good with this. They compete and playing every night. And Jalen Green and Sengun, the two guys you need to lead the way, even in this game, led the way.
Yeah, look, I think I watched that game last night, and to me, had Fred VanVleet been available, they win that game.
Yep.
You know, the reality, I didn't even realize this was by design, but Amen Thompson running point a little bit last night. Jalen Green running point, which he's going to be. He's going to be one of the primary ball handlers, and he's been tremendous with it. But those guys had critical turnovers late in that game in the fourth quarter. They had critical turnovers. And now they bounce right back and would go down and take the lead. But you eliminate those turnovers. If you've got a true point guard in the game that can manage what we've talked about multiple times, manage the tempo, the flow of the game, and be aware and literally manage the game, then I think that game turns out considerably different. And I think the Rockets win that game. Those turnovers that I'm talking about, they allowed Sacramento to weather the runs that the Rockets were making multiple times, and they were just inexcusable turnovers, right? I mean, which it's not a point guard; it happens, especially if it's Amen Thompson.
Turnovers that you feel Fred would have this team in much more control.
Fred would have never been in trouble, right? Fred would have never got in the mix. Fred would have slowed that thing down and said, "Hey, look here, fellas, let's ease up." And those guys were just running and gunning, and Amen's just throwing it all over the floor, right? So that game last night came down to, in my opinion, those turnovers that ended up costing the Rockets. But the impressive part of it is to your point, they're able to weather those storms. Like, yep. They turn the ball over like that, they give up a lead, they get down five, and then all of a sudden, bang, bang, they're right back up one with two threes back to back. So it's.
But even without Fred, they didn't just get housed. What I mean? They were competitive and they look good.
I watch this squad run, and I may be crazy. I mean, it's a long season, so I know it happens to everybody. But I really question how houseable this team is right now.
But yeah, they have, especially with the level of defense that they generally play every night. Yeah, they seem to find a way to be in games, now they're scoring the ball too.
Well, right, even like without Better. Fred VanVleet last night, I don't know if it was the fatigue or the foul trouble that Green got in a little bit early. I mean, again, Amen Thompson goes in and he's running point, and you're getting 7 points in the first half from Cam Whitmore. You're getting, obviously, again, Şengün is just, I mean, he was on a mission last night. You could tell he's a little bit fatigued, but he was down there battling.
Yes, a tough matchup. Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, they're so deep and they got so many answers. I'm not saying they're the superstars, but they're so deep with so many answers of guys that play defense and hustle their ass off. I mean, obviously, it's a long season. It can happen. But, boy, I feel good about this team's ability to stay in games.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, I want to pass along some big news coming in the other AFC matchup that could play a major role in that game. And this is the thing. The defense that the Texans played last week against the Chargers was big time, and now you got to say, hey, they played that level of defense, they can stay in any game. But is that defense going to show up? Which defense will show up for the Texans? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, shout out to everybody who's got them nine nails in the building as well. And shout out to our latest winners. As we got there very, very quickly, as we've had a good time here. We're here in Sugarland, Little Woodrow's. Come on out as TV's everywhere. You can come on out and enjoy yourself. Great food, great drinks as well. Place out there a little bit here with the kids as well. We got outside and inside. It's been a good time here in Sugarland at Little Woodrow's. We got to come back here, Clint. I do want to pass this along. Ravens, they list Zay Flowers in this big matchup against the Buffalo Bills. They list Zay Flowers as doubtful in this game. I ain't gonna lie to you, Clint. When I saw him go down with that non-contact injury and he's grabbing his knee immediately, that usually turns out to be something tough. They said that he's safe, no ACL. They said they thought he'd be able to come back last week, and he's gonna miss the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. That change your course or thought of this game, losing the Pro Bowler, their best receiving threat?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, obviously it hurts, but it doesn't change my thought. I mean, they're so dependent on Lamar Jackson doing his thing and Derrick Henry doing his thing, and I would even say Mark Andrews. You know, I mean, it's obviously you lose
Isaiah Likely too, who's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, they got so many weapons that they spread the ball around too, because first and foremost, their identity is literally the run game in some way, shape, or form. Their identity is how do you contain Lamar Jackson to some degree. It's you know, one of the reasons I think a lot of the Isaiah Likelys exist and the Zay Flowers are as good as they really are. Great players, don't get me wrong, not minimizing them at all. But one reason that they are able to produce the way they are is simply because so much of the focus is on Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And then from there, we've seen Lamar Jackson and the damage he does with tight ends. Again, you mentioned Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. And then everything else kind of bleeds out from there. Now, Zay Flowers was obviously a great piece, but I don't think Zay Flowers is a guy that puts me in a spot where I'm like, oh, man, the Ravens can't score. They're going to move the football and score points either way you slice it.
All right. I think most people feel the top route, the best path for the Texans to win this game and pull off an upset as they are eight and a half point underdogs, depending on where you look, is that this defense goes off and controls the game the way they did against the Chargers.
Yeah.
The way they did against the Dolphins earlier this year. They made guys like Jared Goff not play the type of game he normally plays. Also, Josh Allen, who may win the MVP. A lot of people feel like it's the defense, and I'm with you. They play the way they played last week. You know, they've got a chance. They can hold it down, especially you turn the ball over four times and you score, and then you put yourself in another position where your offense is in scoring zone immediately when they touch the ball. They've had some ups and downs this year. They've been a good defense, but they've had some moments where there have been some performances that you were kind of like, what was that? Tennessee at home, in which they lost, where Will Levis got away from them. Jacksonville in the second half and Mac Jones, like they've had some moments that they've had some struggles this year defensively. How confident are you that this defense is going to be the defense they need in this game? Well, especially including the opponent they're playing, the coaching staff they're playing.
It's the most confident unit that with the Texans. I mean, I'm more. I mean, look, it's. There are, you look around this team, there are guys that there's a lot of ifs about. You know, if the best C.J. Stroud shows up, if the best offensive line shows up, if the best Joe Mixon shows up, which Joe's obviously dependent on the offensive line. You know, I don't know who's one and who's two, but it would be Nico Collins and the defense. Those are the two things that I am very, very confident in. They'll find a way to impact this game in a big way. Look, I'm very confident in this defense, probably more confident than I should be given the fact that they got gutted by the Baltimore Ravens. But I don't think from a matchup perspective this is anything similar to what the Baltimore Ravens bring to the table. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are a better matchup for the Houston Texans, really, than Buffalo or the Baltimore Ravens. And so I think that's a plus. But, yeah, I'm confident that D'Amico Ryans will have this defense set. I'm confident that the stats that we've seen all year long, whether you're talking about turnover ratio, tops in the league, you're talking about pressure rate, tops in the league, getting off the field on third down, tops in the league, pressure rate, overall pressure rate, tops in the league. I mean, I think those are real over an 18-game stretch, and I think they play out to some degree against the Chiefs. What degree, we'll see. Is it enough to win? I don't know, but I do believe that's going to play. I have no idea what's going to play on offense. Like, I think Nico gets his, whether it's in scheme, in rhythm, on time, or if it's in the scramble game. But I don't know what that – does that mean that CJ has a good game? Hell, I don't know. You know, can you run the ball? I don't know. I'm pretty confident in his defense's ability to do what they do.
Yeah. To me, it's going to look different if this defense is able to hold it down, because I don't know that the opponent, Andy Reid, Mahomes and them, are going to allow them to have the level of success, especially in terms of pressure, sacking the quarterback. But it can result in different ways, right? I think they're going to get the ball out quicker, probably not going to hold the ball as long. And try to be a little bit more aggressive on first and second downs. But it is, to me, can you, one, keep them to kicking field goals? Can you make timely plays and turnovers and just keep them from making big plays and hurting you big time? So I do think there is a possibility that we see the good Texans defense. They got to understand, I don't even want to say be patient, but understand that you're probably not going to get a lot of opportunities where he's just going to stand there, right?
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get a lot of opportunities that, you know, he's not going to run the way that Justin Herbert did, that he's not going to use his legs, right? It's just going to have to look different from this defense coming up.
Yeah, look, I totally agree, Ron. I'm looking at the Texans' schedule right now, and I think, again, the Vikings got them and got them good early on. Other than that, you've really – the only game that sticks out where this defense wasn't the reason that the game was competitive and it wasn't the reason that the Texans could go on and win, which they won 10 games, you know, outside of that Minnesota game that they lost, was the defense. And the only outlier was the Baltimore Ravens. And, again, I attribute that more to being a terrible matchup for the Houston Texans. And so I expect this game to be very similar. It's going to be – I think it's going to be more high-scoring than most people think. But I think this is a neck-and-neck ball game right here.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if this defense can hold. You think that the Texans' chances clearly are better if this is a game in the upper teens and low 20s, then this is a game up in the high 20s and 30s.
Who? I would say the lower.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's where it's going to be. I feel like this is going to be a 30-ish game. It's going to be a
– You think it's going to be up
there? It's going to be a – yeah, I mean, high 20s, low 30s. I just feel like these defenses are both really good, but, boy, so you know, so is Pat Mahomes. And CJ in that run game was pretty good last week. And so I just feel like – I don't know why. Again, not comfortable with my confidence level. I just feel like the Texans are going to move the ball and score points. Is it going to be enough? I don't know. But and don't ask me how they're going to do it either, Ron, because I'm not real sure. But I feel like they're going to be able to do it.
All right, coming up, we'll get our predictions in, T-Mill's best bets. And how many points? How many points you think it's going to take? How many points is it going to take for the Texans to win this game? Is it 20? Is it 17? Some of you have texted in. How many points do they have to get on the board to at least give themselves a chance to win this game? All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in as we are live here. Before we get into our picks and our predictions and everything, I want to thank everybody coming out. It's been a really good crowd here at Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. Shout out to the entire staff. They've done a great job. Shout out to our promo staff, OC, to leading the crew. They have done a great job as always. Matt, as he's kept us on the air. Also, OC to stepping in for Matt, doing a little engineer work here in the final hour. Holding us down, also Tyler as well. So we appreciate everybody who played a part to keep this show going and have a great Football Friday here at Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. I did want to go here, and I see some people texting in their thoughts. And I said, how many points? And I've talked to a couple of people around here. How many points will the Texans need to get to win this game? Larry said about 24-27. A couple of people around here, 27, 20, 21 I've seen. How many points do you think that the Texans have to put on the board to give themselves a chance to win?
I think it's 27. I think the magic number is 27. I think it's going to take a little help from the defense, but I think the magic number is 27 to give yourself a chance to win this game.
I don't think that's far off. I think, Tyler, you were in the same boat, right, Tyler? 27 points. It feels like 24, 27 points, I believe you said earlier, Tyler.
Yeah, I said I think they can actually get away with scoring just 20 because I think that the Texan defense is going to have to hold Mahomes and the offense under that number to win this game. So, okay. But no, yeah.
So 20 from Tyler. So Tyler's a little lower on it. And it's just to me, when you look at what this offense, as you said earlier, this offense is off, has been off at times. To me, it's the path to getting to 27 points. That's the concern for me when you just start to look at the guys they don't have in this game, the guys they may not have in this game, and who they're going up against. The offensive line, you know, Chris Jones at front is the path to get to 20. Because I'm with you, 24-27 feels like that's what you at least got to put on the board in this game. Even with how great the Texans defense played last week, it feels like that is just the path to getting to 20, 24, 27. I would imagine the defense has to assist in this. They've got to help in this thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, that's been the recipe to win. It's been the recipe to win against really good quarterbacks this year. You turn Jordan Love over three times.
Yep.
You turn Jared Goff over five times. You turn Justin Herbert over four times. Tua, you turned him over three times and plus a fumble, I believe. So, I mean, yeah, that's the recipe for the Texans to win is at some point throughout the game, they got to play a good, solid football game defensively. Obviously, don't give them anything easy. You know, whether that's blanketing down on everything underneath and making down-to-down more difficult and giving up a couple of explosive, or it's keeping everything in front of you and then buckling down on third down and buckling down in the red zone. Either way you slice it, they got to play a really solid game across the board, and they got to have their moments, two or three moments where there's turnovers, there's huge stops on fourth down, and it's you're either in field goal range or you're right next to field goal range. There's got to be some assistance from the defense. I agree, and I'll be honest with you, I think it's got to happen more than once.
And multiple turnovers.
Yeah, look, I don't mean it's got to be a pick six, but you know, whether it's a stop on fourth down or a stop early when they're backed up inside their own five kind of deal, and you get great field position, there's got to be some of that. You got to win the field position battle to get points as well. So it's got to be a perfect game from not perfect, but it's got to be a really good game from the Texans in order to get this one right here. And it starts. It's going to be headlined by the defense.
Our guy Gene says the Texans need a minimum 27 points, but I don't see Spags and the Chiefs defense letting that happen. Someone texted in 24 is the magic number, 31 is the magic number. Someone texted in 42 to have a chance. Listen, Chiefs, they hadn't scored more than 30 this year. And 30 is their high this year in points. Yeah, it feels like the mid 20s to 27 to me is where they have to go. All right, let's do this. Our predictions, you can send yours in as well. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you know how to do it. All right, Clint, let's let you lead this thing off. What is your prediction in this game? How do you see this game going? Texans Chiefs tomorrow, 3:30 at Arrowhead.
Well, look, we've split this thing up five ways to Saturday game. I feel really good about it. It starts with the defense. I do think there's some credence to the fact that we were able to run the football a little bit better last week. I think Nico gets his. I think CJ was seeing things really good against Kansas City last time when all hell broke loose with the Tank Dell injury. And so I feel really good about CJ having a better game. I'm gonna go Texans make it to their first AFC championship, Ron. I'm going the Texans 27. Texans 27, Chiefs 24.
27-24 Texans from Clint Sterner. Text in your predictions. He's got I'd argue this would be one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NFL playoffs. When you think about the team that it is and what they're going for and what they've done, and the Texans and a lot of the injuries, I think maybe the Giants and the Patriots in the Super Bowl would be up there, but this would be a huge upset in this game. Someone just texted in, Texans 24, Chiefs 20. All right, Alejandro 24-21, Texans. Tyler, double-digit Tyler is what they call him. Tyler, what is your prediction for this game coming up on Saturday?
Well, I know
how you see it going.
I know we've talked a lot about my double-digit Texan win predictions, and I really had no thought of that when I was making this prediction. But it's the same. Texans are getting to their first AFC title, baby. Texans beat the Chiefs tomorrow at 3:30. They win this one 30-20. Let's go!
He's talking himself into that.
Is talking himself. My son Nicholas is tearing a hole into hearing what you said there, Ty.
You got a problem, Nick? I'm right here, bro.
Yeah, he do. He's a big four.
Just kidding, Nick.
He's a big four. He's got the same size head that you do as well. All right, he is. He's the big head kid. All right, Clinton Tyler, what do you got? You said 30-20.
Yes.
Got him getting a 30 in this piece.
Moment of truth right here, man. This, you know, you've been compared to Nick Wright, Carrington up in Kansas City at our sister station, Ron the Show.
Which I am none of those things. I am a different type of Chiefs fan is what I am. Listen, I do nothing but be honest here. I honest, as I said earlier, and I mean that in my heart, I believe that C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans at some point, they are going to get to an AFC championship game. They are going to get to a Super Bowl. I believe that they are doing things the way that leads towards that. But they're not ready to win this game. They're not. I just don't think they're equipped right now with a lot of the injuries they have. They're not ready to win this game. I think there is going to be a time when they are ready to play in this game and be up there on the level of teams like the Chiefs, like the Bills, like the Ravens. I don't think that is the time today.
Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
I think they're going to really have a struggle trying to score points in this game. And I think the Chiefs win 27-13. 27-13 in this game.
That is awesome.
As they will try to get to their seventh straight AFC championship game. I don't think it'll feel like a blowout or something the whole way. I do think it'll be a methodical thing, as the Chiefs have been methodical all season long. But I think they're not quite there yet. I do think it's different maybe if they had their guys. If Diggs and Tank and Petrie and Ward and a lot of those guys are.
Get out!
But yes, I think the Chiefs
damn
win
it.
This game.
We almost had a damn clean sweep.
Damn it!
Is that what you really thought was coming?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Just
play it. I respect the prediction. I respect it. You laid it out there.
Yeah, it's just this is
you're wrong, but I respect it.
I know it. We'll see what happens. We get in there Monday. I think we'll have a lot to talk about in this game. On Monday, we'll get, as I said, some of your predictions to come through here. 17-10, defensive game, Texans. Someone texted in 30-22, Chiefs in this game. As we see people giving their predictions coming through. All right, Tyler, let's get to it, because I'm sure your best bets are probably in line with some of the football we'll be seeing this weekend as we are live here. Before we get to best bets. Remember, coming up behind us, you'll hear from the head coach as the Texans All Access will come up behind us. Head coach D'Amico Ryans will be right on the first thing you hear at 6 o'clock as soon as we get done here. Behind them, Area 45, 9 to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago will hold it down as Clint is spilling things on his computer. Yeah, I'm going to put you right on out there.
That's all right. Just a little ice.
It's just a little cleaning device.
Yeah, I sucked that water down.
All right, Tyler, what's your best bets for the weekend?
Yeah, first of all, if you're not tailing these picks I'm giving you at the end of every
hot
show,
now.
I am on a damn heater. Follow the flames. What's that, Ron?
I said, yeah, he's been hot, folks. He's been hot.
Yes, 14 for 20 this week. Pretty damn good. Going to keep it going. And I got weekend best bets for you. Obviously, these are all going to be what's posted so far for the NFL divisional round of the playoffs, including the Texans and Chiefs game. Let me scroll down here. Best bets. I got five of them. And you can always check my Twitter because I'm going to have more as more lines come out. And we enter the weekend. I got five of them. Rams, as they travel up to Philly. I am on the Rams +6.5, and this very well might be my favorite one. I think the Rams could end up winning this game. So if you got a good money line, you could do that too. But Rams +6.5. Next up, I got Commanders-Lions. That matchup, I'm on the under in that one. It's set at 55.5. Now the hometown. Texans, I just told you they're going to win 30-20. So obviously Texans +8 is a damn lock. Lock that one in. Bet your house note. Get you some money.
Guys, don't bet your house note. Please don't do that.
Only if you can afford it.
No, just don't do it.
Sticking with the Texans at Arrowhead facing the Chiefs. I am on the Texans team total over 16.5. Once again, I told you, 30-20. 20 is more than 16.5. Lock that one in. And then now I got one player prop for you. It's already posted. It's for young C.J. Stroud. I'm going C.J. Stroud over 14.5 rushing yards at Arrowhead Stadium. I've won a lot of money this football season on Stroud rushing props. You might want to tail it. Those are your five best bets for now. What do you guys think?
I'm with you on that first one. I really like the Rams, that +6.5. I don't know they're going to win the game, but I do think that game is a tighter game. at Matt Stafford. He can let it roll and let it rip. And I think they can score points, even though the Eagles have been really, really good. I think they can score points.
Yeah, girl.
So I like that one. I even like C.J. Stroud's rushing numbers. What's that, 14.5? Got to get to 15?
Yes.
I think he will peak out and try to use that as an answer, Clint, as it was at times to get out of things. And to be honest, the last time the Chiefs played a real game, Russell Wilson hurt him doing that, and his old ass probably moves the same route. Russell Wilson had 6 carries for 55 yards.
That's right.
against the Chiefs the last time they played, and picked up a couple of third downs. So I like that one a lot too. You got some good action there.
Thank you.
And mess with the team stuff for the Texans, but you got some good action.
Let's win this game and win some money.
Right. Do your thing, man.
Getting hyped every minute. More hyped every minute closer to 3:30 Saturday.
I know you are. All right. Fun time here at Little Woodrow's. Thank everybody who came out and hung out with us. Coming up again, Texans All Access, D'Amico Ryan's head coach. You'll hear from him. And then coming up after that, we on here live and local till midnight, 9 p.m. to midnight, Area 45. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Pete Sweeney for joining the show. I am Ron the Show Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby. The Bud Light girls are here as well, as they will hook you up with some God, Tyler, man, we will hook you up with some some items as well.
Oh, was my mic?
Yeah. Yeah, as you know, your mic was on.
Hello,
you popped
lady.
The damn thing open.
It's really about to 69.
Tyler is the absolute worst.
Someone else instead of me always seems to know.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.